We know there is a deep state, but what's the deep state behind the deep state?
The deep state loves to manufacture enemies, as we've been learning through this whole series. Did one of them just try to assassinate Donald Trump? Was the deep state behind the invisible enemy that we had to give up all our freedoms to fight? Stay tuned to find out.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks with Alex Newman about a shadow government that motivates deep state activity. How does this tie in with a coming global government outlined in the Bible? And how might such questionable activities affect you? Here is today's programming.
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. You know, he hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him. They have no idea how to relate to him.
Yeah, he's uncontrollable. He didn't go through the initiation rites. He's not part of their secret societies. Newt Gingrich is absolutely right. That is why they hate Trump. He's not part of their cabal. Again, disagree with him? I disagree with the guy on quite a few things, right? The abortion thing, for me, that's like a non-negotiable. Killing babies is wrong. It should be against the law. But we have to acknowledge here what's going on. The deep state hates Donald Trump. They have been openly bragging about the deep state taking out Donald Trump. They brag about how they kill people. They murder people based on their metadata. They brag about the intelligence community having six ways from Sunday to get back at you. And just like Roger Stone said in that 2017 interview that we talked about in last week's show, they had the objective of taking out Donald Trump at all costs. And plan A, he said, was the Russia collusion hoax. That fell apart. Plan B was the 25th Amendment hoax. That fell apart too. Plan C, Roger Stone said, was for the deep state to assassinate him, to do what was done to John F. Kennedy, what they tried to do to Ronald Reagan. We need to recognize that, folks. We are not being told the truth. Now, we'll hopefully address the many, many questions about the assassination that continue to grow in future episodes. But for now, suffice it to say, they had a motive. And as a criminal investigator, the first thing you look for, who had a motive to take him out? Some 20-year-old punk kid? Maybe. I don't believe for one second, though, that he outsmarted the most sophisticated protection agency in the world.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. So when you hear the term New World Order, it implies, of course, that it will replace an existing system. And it really has nothing to do with the United Nations, not even the World Economic Forum. And these are precursors for a new world order, and they certainly play a role in the coming Antichrist kingdom, but they're not the final product, because the global kingdom to come will be just that, a world system divided into 10 regions. It will have a single leader. We are not there yet, but we are rushing rapidly towards this. We hear quite often the term deep state. Just who or what is the deep state? Is it a part of the coming one world system? How does the U.S. government fit in? How about our current president? How about a future president? What does the deep state think of past president trying to sit in that honored position again, Donald Trump? Let me clarify right up front here that the forthcoming hour is not an effort to promote a presidential candidate in the political sense. It's an attempt to clarify how modern-day politics plays into a global scheme to form what the Bible predicts, a one-world system. My guest, he's going to join me in a moment, Alex Newman, and I just want to play a very quick soundbite of Alex because I think he's setting the stage for our discussion here.
What we're watching now is the deliberate destruction of the American middle class and the deliberate destruction of the American economy. Ultimately, if these evildoers get their way, it's going to result in the deliberate destruction of the United States of America. We're talking about the controlled demolition of our economy, our military might, and everything that we hold dear. And this has been known at the highest levels of government for a long time. You know it as well as I do that during the Trump administration, they had Rich Higgins on the National Security Council put together the Higgins memo. People should read this. He talked about this global alliance of globalists, communists, socialists, Islamists, who are all working in unison for the goal of destroying the United States of America, not just as a nation, he says, but even as an ideal. And so they want to shift global power over to communist China, over to the United Nations, etc. and gradually and then suddenly destroy the United States. And they don't want to just destroy our country. They want to even discredit the ideas and principles that it's founded upon, because they're simply not compatible with this one world system. You know, Henry Kissinger, who just recently passed away, was constantly talking about we need a new world order, just like all the rest of these globalists. What they mean by new world order, George Soros told us what this new world order was going to look like 10 years ago. He did an interview with the Financial Times. He said, we need communist China to own the new world order in the same way that the United States owns the current one. So we're watching here a deliberate process whereby the formerly free, developed, prosperous Christian-style nations are being deliberately demolished so that power, economic, military, diplomatic, etc., can be shifted over to the authoritarian regimes like communist China, which really is the model for the one-world system. Now, these people are not stupid. We know, obviously, Joe Biden is on the payroll. The Congress has already released documents proving that the Biden family is on the CCP payroll. But really, it's much bigger than that, right? Henry Kissinger, probably him and his boss, the Rockefeller clan, probably did more than anybody to build up communist China into the threat that it is today. But Obama and Joe Biden and many, many others at the highest levels have been helping this process along, to the point where you have Klaus Schwab this summer going on communist Chinese television saying that communist China is a role model for many countries. So this is a very, very dangerous agenda. And you're right. Americans can't focus on this stuff because they're so busy trying to feed their family. They're so busy trying to keep up with the entertainment and all the rest of it. People don't have time. And it's very difficult now to find this stuff. The UN's bragging that they have a partnership with Google to silence people like you and I, Greg, who are telling the truth about this climate stuff. And so it's getting very, very difficult for Americans. It's going to get much more difficult if we don't stop this fraud.
Alex Newman is an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, speaker, nationally syndicated radio host, consultant. He currently serves as contributor to the Epoch Times, correspondent for Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, foreign correspondent and senior editor of The New American. I could go on and on. You have seen him on Fox Newsmax, One American News, The Blaze. We carry in my online store his book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. I did an hour with Alex on that probably a year ago. I may refer to it, but we won't be talking specifically about the book. Alex Newman, welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me, Jen.
Alex, are the deep state and the globalist agenda, are they one and the same?
I think they are. And that doesn't mean that everybody who would see himself or herself as part of the deep state fully understands the whole agenda. I think a lot of the people that operate in what we call the deep state, what Donald Trump is talking about when he calls out the deep state, the entrenched bureaucracy, the high-level operatives at the Department of Justice, I think a lot of these people have convinced themselves that this is good for humanity, that if we just undermine the nation state, we'll bring about peace. The UN is a better organizer for geopolitics than the Westphalian system from 1648, enshrining the sovereignty of the nation state. But ultimately, when I'm talking about the deep state, I'm looking one step beyond that into the spiritual realm, into what's happening behind closed doors, not so much the bureaucracies, but the secretive societies. And I believe one of the top elements of the deep state's agenda is globalism, traditionally defined, undermining the nation state, moving us toward a one world system, ultimately an evil one world system. So when you get to the very high levels of power, political, economic, even ecclesiastical, you do have, I think, a very strong unity of purpose in this effort to shift us toward this new world order, which is globalist in nature. Okay. And by globalist, again, we're talking global system.
Then how do you define the deep state behind the deep state?
That's why I wrote the book. I wanted to go through the organizations, the secret operations that pull the strings of the bureaucracies and the intelligence agencies that we see. And so at the highest level, I would say, let's just start with the top. As Christians, we need to recognize what the Bible teaches, and that is the deep state behind the deep state has a commander in chief, and that is Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, as he's referred to multiple times in scripture. And when you understand that, the rest of the pieces fall into place. But when we talk about the deep state behind the deep state, I look at a lot of the secretive organizations. Yeah. There is the Bilderberg Group. Every year they meet in secret, about 120 of the most powerful people on the planet and people that they're trying to recruit. You've got the Skull and Bones Society at Yale University, the Bohemian Grove out in Northern California, where a few thousand of the most powerful men on the planet get together and do very weird rituals. Yep. And then the not so secret organizations, things like the Council on Foreign Relations in New York that Hillary Clinton said when she was serving as Secretary of State, that they tell her what she should be doing and how she should be thinking about the future.
groups like the Trilateral Commission set up by David Rockefeller and former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski. There's a lot of these groups that are incredibly powerful, right? If you look, it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat administration, these are always dominated by this tiny handful of people that comes from this little network of little known groups. And so I think that's much more important to focus on than which particular bureaucrat in which particular agency is doing something we may not like. You got to look at who's calling the shots behind the scenes.
So you've allowed me to go a little bit out of order in my thinking here this hour because you just brought up something that I was going to touch on later. We're going to do it now only because you just cited Hillary Clinton as she's calling out the Council on Foreign Relations. And I know, Alex, you've talked about CFR before. We had you here in the Twin Cities back in April, and we looked at a lot of the coming New World Order heavily back in April. It was World Economic Forum. Folks, we have that in our online store as a DVD. But let me just play the clip that you just referred to, and folks will hear Hillary Clinton, and then the radio audience might not see that Joe Biden is going to jump in and say he's a servant of the CFR as well. The point being, certainly American leaders, political leaders, seem to be beholden to the Council on Foreign Relations.
But if you look at the secretive and the secret organizations that like to think they run the world, Donald Trump is not part of them. He doesn't play ball with them. He doesn't go to their little secret meetings. He doesn't do their weird little rituals and stuff, right? He's not a member of their weirdo little clubs. And one of the ones we could talk about is the Council on Foreign Relations. You all know the Council on Foreign Relations. Hillary Clinton said that's who tells her what she should be doing and how she should think about the future. Those are her words. I'm going to play the clip for you so you can hear her say that. Here she is.
Thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, I guess, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
All right, so who tells Hillary Clinton what she should be doing and how she should think about the future? Well, according to Hillary Clinton, it's the Council on Foreign Relations. Isn't that interesting? We thought it was Congress or the American people or Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Satan, I don't know. But no, it turns out it's actually the Council on Foreign Relations. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't want to give the impression that this is a partisan thing, right? It's not just Democrats. Here is Dick Cheney bragging about his relationship with the CFR and how he never tells the dumb voters back home in Wyoming.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
No, you never mentioned that when you're campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming. Even Joe Biden, here he is, sitting next to Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations at that time. And listen to this interesting little quip.
My name is Richard Haass, by the way. I work here at the Council on Foreign Relations.
And I work for Richard.
And I work for Richard. So we had a defector come out of the CFR. His name was Admiral Chester Ward. He spent 16 years as a member. And what he said in a book that he wrote, along with the great Phyllis Schlafly, the late great Phyllis Schlafly, it was called Kissinger on the Couch. He said the main purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is promoting the disarmament of U.S. sovereignty and national independence and our submergence into an all-powerful one-world government. He says this lust to surrender the sovereignty and independence of the United States is pervasive throughout most of the membership. He says in the entire CFR lexicon, there is no term of revulsion carrying a meaning so deep as America First. And these people have admitted publicly in their little magazine, Foreign Affairs, that their goal is a house of world order, that they're going to undermine our sovereignty piece by piece until we are in that world order. And the term they hate most of all the possible terms out there is America First. You wonder why they hate Donald Trump? Well, that's why they hate Donald Trump.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have on the line from Florida, Alex Newman. Learn a lot more at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. A lot of video, other items you'll find at that website. Alex, help us unpack this, and I need you to do it in seconds, and you do that brilliantly, by the way. And that is an explanation for what the CFR does, who founded it, what their goals are, how they got this power, how they're influencing the people in the highest offices in the world.
So this was founded over 100 years ago, right after the U.S. Senate rejected U.S. involvement in the League of Nations. So the globalists of that day said, if we're going to get the United States involved in this push for a one-world system, we're going to have to overcome the natural American aversion to being involved in these entangling alliances. So a group of bankers and very influential people set this organization up. People like Edward Mandel House, a fake colonel who very openly advocated socialism and totalitarian government and globalism. And their mission was to bring together the most influential people in American society, from government, from media, from banking, from industry, and to get them all moving in the same general direction so that they could then control the policy, especially the foreign policy of the United States of America. And over the intervening 100 years, they've done a phenomenal job of that, where they bring together top Republicans, top Democrats, top journalists, top CEOs, and all move in this same general direction without one in a million Americans understanding who they are or what their real agenda is.
So, again, who gave them this authority?
In pure terms, they actually don't have any authority. They only get authority by being able to infiltrate government at the highest levels. Mm-hmm. And so if you go back multiple generations now, every presidential administration, and Donald Trump was kind of an outlier. He did have some very important CFR members in there, but far less than previous. Every single administration of both parties has been absolutely dominated by members of the CFR. Sometimes the president himself is a member of the CFR. You've got the big corporations involved. And the corporations, they like to get involved for business purposes. This gives them access to the power centers. But you've got all the big mega banks are members, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America. You've got the military industrial contractors, the big oil companies, even the big media companies. People are surprised to know that the people that they get their news from, these are corporate members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And so by themselves, they have no authority, but they all at the highest levels agree with this push for the one world system. And without going out and talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, they all push the talking points.
I want to discuss, because you have done so extensively, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump now a couple months ago. I'm looking at a headline here, I believe it's Gateway Pundit, revealed the most agents protecting Trump during attempted assassination were Homeland Security personnel who received only 2 hours of online training in a webinar beforehand. I have all sorts of questions and issues that seem to continue to go unanswered. I know there are many in Congress who are trying to get to the bottom of it, including Senator Josh Hawley. And then I want to just name five gentlemen here and have you connect the dots between Donald Trump and Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, Roger Stone. You talk about these people, and they have come under deep state and globalist persecution. Of course, they're all tied to Donald Trump. Can you somehow connect these dots?
What we're seeing is a total deep state war on Donald Trump and everybody close to Donald Trump. Back in 2017, less than 1 year into President Trump's first term, I got a call from Roger Stone, who's been a very good friend of Donald Trump since the 80s, intimate advisor. In fact, he was the first guy to suggest that Donald Trump ought to run for president. He said, Alex, come to my house. We need to talk. So I went over. We spent a few hours together, and almost our whole conversation was on record. What he told me was pretty shocking. He said, look, the deep state, and that was a term he used, absolutely despises this man, because he is opposed to the core of their agenda, which is undermining the United States and moving us toward a one world system. So he said, what you're going to see in the next few years is an effort to totally destroy him. And he said their plan A was this Russia collusion hoax. Roger Stone said that was going to fail because it was so silly. He said plan B was using the 25th Amendment to try to declare him incompetent and remove him from office using his cabinet. And I did speak to some cabinet members. There was an effort to recruit a majority of the cabinet to get them to remove Donald Trump. They didn't have enough people to do it, so that failed. And then Roger Stone said, plan C, they're going to try to murder him. They're going to try to do what they did to John F. Kennedy. Now, I don't care what anybody thinks about Roger Stone. The fact is, he has been right at the center of American politics for about 50 years. He was alongside Richard Nixon. He served Ronald Reagan. He served Senator Bob Dole. And of course, he served President Donald Trump in a high-level capacity. In the months that followed, what we saw was exactly what Roger Stone outlined happening in real time. And we saw one by one the people closest to Donald Trump, the people who were instrumental in bringing him to power, not just targeted, but absolutely abused and horribly victimized by the deep state. It started, of course, with General Flynn. They went after Roger Stone. They went after Paul Manafort, who was his campaign chair. They put him in jail on tax charges from years ago that never would have happened if he had not been close to Trump. Right now, Steve Bannon is sitting in jail. Peter Navarro just got out of jail. These are all men that I know. These are all decent, honorable Americans. And the thing that they have in common is that they worked for Donald Trump and they played a role in his administration or in bringing him to power. We need to understand that this is way beyond just politics as usual. This is way beyond the controlled opposition that we're used to seeing. This is a deep state effort to utterly destroy a man and everybody around him, including his family, because he poses a threat to the big agenda, which is globalism, the new world order, destruction of the United States, etc. And so I would encourage people to recognize this is not normal. In fact, many of these things are criminal, and yet they're happening, and they're going to be happening with more severity in the months ahead.
Any thoughts on who might be next?
I would say everybody around Donald Trump who is not an infiltrator, who is not a snake working for the deep state, is in very significant danger. And that very much includes his children, Don Jr. and Eric Trump, because they're associated with their father, because through business and through politics, they have stood by their father and worked with him. They're in grave danger. Their wives, their families are in grave danger. And I don't think it's out of the question at all, Jan, that we could see more assassination attempts on Donald Trump and on the people close to him.
Absolutely. That was where I was going next, because what happened on July 13th was at best willful negligence. The likelihood of it being far worse than that is pretty obvious. And I think, why would they stop now? They can revert to plan A or B, of course, but plan C, it's a whole lot faster. It failed, and my listeners are praying that there's no attempt on any leader's life in this nation or any other nation. However, as you have outlined and as everyone knows, evil is on overdrive right now. The church age is winding down. Anything can happen.
That's right, Jan. And I think there's a very real risk of something like that happening again. You look at what happened on July 13th, and I don't believe for a second that a 20-year-old with really no military experience, no law enforcement training, no intelligence experience that we know of would be able to outsmart the most sophisticated personal protection agency on the face of the planet. That defies credulity. It is, in my opinion, completely ridiculous. And so then we have to start considering other alternatives. I think what happened, basing it on the evidence that I have seen so far and the people I have talked to, I think the young man who took shots at Donald Trump was supposed to be the fall guy. I think they were hoping that Donald Trump would end up dead. They were hoping with this dead kid, the 20-year-old Crooks, they could say that was the shooter. There's no more questions to be asked. Anybody who says anything to the contrary is a vicious, vile conspiracy theorist. And then that would have been what was written in the history books. Again, that is completely implausible. There's so much evidence that suggests that something else was afoot. And the same forces that have been publicly talking about how they are happy that the deep state is trying to take out Donald Trump, the same kind of people who talk about how they kill people based on their metadata, former head of the CIA used those exact words, those people need to be followed and monitored very, very carefully, because I think what we're seeing here is an actual effort to murder or stop by any means necessary the man they're afraid is going to be the next president of the United States.
The key is what you just said, by any means necessary. I want to play a quick clip here. The gentleman is a very respected economist, Eric Weinstein. Again, this was on the website Gateway Pundit, which is one of my main go-to sites, folks, for news and information of all kinds.
I don't know whether Donald Trump will be allowed to become president. There is something that I think Mike Benz is just referred to as the rules-based international order. It's an interlocking series of agreements, tacit understandings, explicit understandings, clandestine understandings about how the most important structures keep the world free of war and keep markets open. And there has been a system in place, whether understood explicitly or behind the scenes or implicitly, that says that the purpose of the two American parties is to prune the field of populist candidates so that whatever two candidates exist in a face-off are both acceptable to that world order. So under that structure, everything was going fine until 2016. And then the first candidate ever to not hold any position in the military nor position in government in the history of the Republic to enter the Oval Office, Donald Trump, broke through the primary structure. So then there was a full court press. Okay, we only have one candidate that's acceptable to the international order. Donald Trump will be under constant pressure that he's a loser, he's a wild man, he's an idiot, and he's under the control of the Russians. And then he was going to be a 20-1 underdog. And then he wins. And there was no precedent for this. they learned their lesson. You cannot afford to have candidates who are not acceptable to the international order and continue to have these alliances.
Again, Alex, he's expressing what a lot of us are thinking, and the powers that be are just not going to allow it. They're going to cause or allow all sorts of tragedies to happen.
Yeah, and I think he really hit the nail on the head right there. Back in the early 1960s, Bill Clinton's mentor, Dr. Carol Quigley, he was a history professor at Georgetown University and wrote one of the most important books exposing the deep state of that era. This was long before the modern era. And by the way, he agrees with what we call today the deep state. He says he agrees with most of their agenda. He says he's been very close to them for decades, that for a couple of years, they even let him read their secret documents and papers. And in this book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where he outlines some of this, they want a one world system that they control. They want a one world economy that they control. He says this, the argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other of the left, is a foolish idea acceptable only to doctrinaire and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shifts in policy. And that's what we saw for generations until Donald Trump came along, broke the mold. The establishment didn't know what to do with it. And so we saw throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at him and see if we can stop him.
Folks, you know, God is always in control. Daniel 2:21, he sets up kings, he takes them down. But we've got forces that are pushing back against all sorts of things. And again, both Alex Newman and I, we could cite the things we disagree with Donald Trump. That's not the purpose of this hour. It honestly is not intended to be a political emphasis. However, when skullduggery is going on behind the scenes, and you know, back on July 13th, wasn't behind the scenes, it was very much in the forefront, being viewed live by millions of people. I'm back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are so pleased to offer Dr. Ron Rhodes' newest book, The Complete Reference Guide to Bible Prophecy. Over 500 pages that will inspire hope, wisdom, and encouragement. This book is your all-in-one resource for understanding Bible prophecy and the end times. With his signature clarity, Dr. Ron Rhodes makes complex topics simple, providing you with a composite survey of the end times, from the rapture to eternity. This authoritative work is sure to become your go-to prophecy guide for years to come. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. In a world gripped by growing conflict and chaos, it's hard to know where to turn for reliable guidance. But God didn't leave us empty-handed. His gift of Bible prophecy offers hope for the future and purpose in the present.
We need to recognize that satanic power is real. It's very widespread. It's operating at the highest levels of power, not just in the United States, but around the world. And we need to be conscious of that, as the Apostle Paul explains. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We must not be ignorant.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here are Jan Markell and Alex Newman to wrap up today's program.
And of course, it wasn't just the global warming. It was all these other related agendas that involved destroying the United States and building up this totalitarian system. And of course, Trump was not part of the deep state. If you look at all these organizations that I expose in the book, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bohemian Grove. Let's talk about the Bohemian Grove for a minute. A bunch of weirdos get together in the northern redwood forest of California. Every Republican president in the last 100 years has attended. Richard Nixon actually said in his autobiography, the most important speech he gave in his political career was the one he gave to the Bohemian Grove. Not one in 100 Americans knows anything about the Bohemian Grove. And we know Richard Nixon didn't really believe that. We heard the tapes. He said some things I won't repeat about the Bohemian Grove involving homosexuality, using the Lord's name in vain, so we won't go there. But Richard Nixon said that was his most important speech. Well, Donald Trump, the first Republican president in a century who did not go to this weird club of elitists, right? Bohemian Grovers. He never went to Bilderberg. He was never involved with the Council on Foreign Relations. He didn't participate in the Trilateral Commission. He wasn't recruited into Skull and Bones at Yale like John Kerry and George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Senator Prescott Bush. He just wasn't part of the club. And I agree with you, Greg. I strongly disagree with Trump on the injections. And I disagreed with him on several other key things, too. In fact, I wrote a memo that I understand was read by Donald Trump about the dangers of the USMCA. They surrendered a huge amount of our sovereignty. It was a big mistake. But the reality is Trump was not controlled by these people. They were able to manipulate him on some key things like the shots, like the USMCA, and several other really important issues. But ultimately, they did not feel like they could control him. He was an outsider. And that's why they are absolutely petrified of him coming back now, because he's going to want justice, just like at least half of the country wants justice for this horror show that we've lived through over the last 3 years.
Folks, you can be sure I'm not going to let that topic go here, but let me just insert real quickly that we have a pastor's huddle coming up this fall. We're going to feature Dr. Mike Dodds from Calvary University, Kansas City, our fourth such event in suburban Minneapolis, co-sponsored with Mark Henry, lead pastor, Revive Church. And the topic will be a biblical evaluation of replacement theology. Most churches teach the error that the church has replaced Israel and now inherits all of her promises. Please don't buy into that. There's no cost for this. The dates will be October 8th, 9th, 10th here in suburban Minneapolis. If you want more information, go to our website, olivetreeviews.org, then to events, and then to the pastor's huddle, or contact our own staff pastor, Josh Schwartz. You can drop him an email, josh@olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Again, we're not going to charge you to get into this 3-day teaching session. Again, biblical evaluation of replacement theology, early October. It'll be in conjunction with our Understanding the Times one night on Thursday, October 10th. I'll have more to say about that in the next week or two. And by the way, we've got Alex Newman's book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. It's in my online store. If what we're saying intrigues you, you want to learn more, I highly recommend you pick up that book. Again, Alex, I can't let that little soundbite go. Why don't you expand on it?
What's happening here with Donald Trump is, again, somebody who has broken the mold. And so one of the other groups that I like to focus on, in fact, I've got a section on them in the book, is the Skull and Bones Society. It's a very, very small society. They only recruit 15 new members each year. They're headquartered at Yale University. And the man who wrote, I think, the most important book on this, his name was Anthony Sutton. He was a historian at Stanford University, and he ended up receiving a big trove of documents about this group from a good friend of mine who passed away a few years ago. Her name was Charlotte Iserby. Her dad was a member. Her grandpa was a member. She herself actually served as senior education advisor in the Reagan administration. And so when her dad passed away, she passed all these documents over to Anthony Sutton. And it was enough for him to say, I've got to write a book on this. It's called America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones. And he says in the book, first of all, this organization is a recruiting ground for a global conspiracy, in the true sense of the word, right? Two or more people working in secret for evil, illegal, or immoral intent to create a one-world government. And he says, in this dialectical process, change requires conflict, and conflict requires the clash of opposites. You can't just have a right, you must have a right and a left. And so you look at a perfect example of that in 2004, where you have George W. Bush, a member of Skull and Bones, and John Kerry, a member of Skull and Bones, both the nominees for the two major parties in this country. What are the odds of that? I mean, they're infinitesimally small. And so what you have here is an effort to control the narrative, where on paper they look different. When you listen to their rhetoric, you know, one wants to increase taxes, one wants to decrease taxes. But behind the scenes, they're all working ultimately for that same one world agenda. And that's what people really need to understand here. What you're seeing on TV is not an accurate representation of reality. You've got to go behind the scenes to understand what's really happening. And of course, you got to read your Bible.
Some of these outfits, let's just stick with Bohemian Grove for a moment. You were on air with me, it's probably a year ago now, and we dived into Bohemian Grove in detail. And folks, I believe that would be September of 2023. All programming is on my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to radio, scroll down, you'll see access to many, many years of radio. All right, Bohemian Grove. Weird for sure, but dangerous? Really?
I would say extremely dangerous. And what we're dealing with here, I think a lot of the people who go there, like Richard Nixon, don't fully comprehend what they're getting involved with. But the occultism is very, very open and very direct. To give you an example, they've got a big 40-foot stone owl statue standing next to a pond. And they do a ritual there called cremation of care. I actually know a journalist who was able to sneak in and get this on video, where they're burning what they claim is an effigy of a child at the foot of this 40-foot stone owl. And so a lot of the people who go there, they think, oh, wow, this is kind of weird, but I'm getting to mingle with all these powerful people. They'll probably help my next Senate campaign. They'll help my business get new contracts. So let's just overlook the weirdness. But this is actually, I think, in the truest sense, satanic. This is exactly the kind of stuff that we read about the nations that were worshiping demons doing back in Old Testament times. To give one more illustration of how much the elites despised Donald Trump, former Secretary of State Colin Powell, he was at the Bohemian Grove, and somebody hacked his emails. They released him publicly, and he had an email that was sent to Peter Gordon McKay, the former Minister of Justice in Canada. And in this email, Colin Powell says, "I'm just back from the Bohemian Grove. Surprise, surprise, I sat next to Stephen Harper," that was the Prime Minister of Canada, a couple times, "had a nice discussion. Grove attendees know that Trump is a disaster that most will vote against." So we're dealing here with occult things, very evil things. And then again, that doesn't mean that everybody who's ever gone to a Bohemian Grove meeting is somehow involved with this occultism. But people need to understand that behind the scenes, what you're not seeing on TV, what you're not reading on the front page of your newspaper, is exactly what you would expect to find from a proper reading of your Bible, where again, Satan is referred to as the god of this world, where in 1 John, we read that the whole world is in the power of the evil one. We don't want to misunderstand that. Of course, God is sovereign. God ultimately decides what will happen. But we need to recognize that satanic power is real. It's very widespread. It's operating at the highest levels of power, not just in the United States, but around the world. And we need to be conscious of that, as the Apostle Paul explains. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We must not be ignorant.
Talking to Alex Newman for the hour. Learn more at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. Articles, videos, a wealth of information. Again, we had Alex back in April here to the Twin Cities. If you'd like a DVD of that event, it's in my online store. You can watch it. Absolutely no cost. YouTube, Rumble, our website. Going back to July 13th, and as I said, probably 30 minutes ago at best, that was willful negligence. Do you think the truth will ever really come out as to what happened on that fateful day?
We know from the scriptures that eventually everything is going to be revealed. But in the meantime, I'm not hopeful that we're ever going to learn the truth. And you're already seeing the questions fade from public view, right? People have moved on to the next thing, election fraud, whatever. But what will happen if too many people start asking questions, like what we saw with the assassination of John F. Kennedy? The evildoers themselves will start throwing out all kinds of crazy theories, so that there are so many theories that a normal person starts researching and says, I can't figure this out. I've looked at three of these theories. They're obviously ridiculous. So maybe they're all ridiculous and people just throw their hands up. It's a safe bet to assume that we're not being told the whole truth. And I think the evidence for that is overwhelming. And even without knowing all the details, did the FBI recruit this guy and radicalize this guy so he could be set up as a patsy like they did with those that were going to kidnap Governor Whitmer in Michigan? By the way, most of the people involved in that plot were either working for the FBI or were confidential informants for the FBI. So I don't know that we as Americans or we as people will ever know in this life, but eventually all the truth will come out.
I'm going to play one more clip of you, Alex. And here we hear someone actually say, thank God for the deep state.
I wanted to go back in time today and just remind everybody about what the deep state has been doing and saying over the last few years in the run-up to this assassination attempt. It is disgusting. It is outrageous. It would never be tolerated against any other political figure in this country. Nobody would say these types of things about the Bushes, the Clintons, the Bidens, Kamala Harris. I mean, none of these people. It'd be totally outside the bounds of what anybody would consider acceptable for good reason. So we'll start with the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John McLaughlin. And when I first saw this, I almost couldn't believe my ears. Really? Thank God for the deep state in the context of taking out Donald Trump? Yes, that's what he says. I want you to listen carefully to John McLaughlin, former acting director of the Central Intelligence Agency, on camera, thanking his God for the deep state effort to take out Donald Trump.
The intelligence community feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state.
Isn't that interesting? Now, that in and of itself would be troubling enough to have a leader of an intelligence agency thanking whatever deity he worships. It's obviously not the God of the Bible for deep state efforts to take out Donald Trump. But this is in the context of an intelligence agency that brags about murdering people.
Alex, never thought I'd hear a clip like that. Washington, no wonder Donald Trump calls them the swamp.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting, Jan, is that when you go to Washington, D.C., everybody knows this stuff.
Yeah.
As Chuck Schumer said on MSNBC, when Donald Trump was accusing the Central Intelligence Agency and the intelligence community of acting improperly, he said, hey, he's pretty dumb to be doing this. The intelligence community has 6 ways from Sunday to get back at you. So this is very well known. The CIA has been caught spying on members of Congress. They brag that they kill people around the world without even charging them with a crime, much less putting them on trial. So this is completely out of control. This is not how our government is supposed to run, but it is the reality. And again, this wouldn't be tolerated against anybody else in our political process. Imagine a former director of the CIA saying, thank God for the deep state effort to take out Kamala Harris,
yes,
or Joe Biden or Bill Clinton or even George Bush. It would never be accepted. And yet when it comes to Donald Trump, who's supposed to be literally Hitler, Orange Man Bad, Cheeto, we can say any kind of crazy thing we want. We can cut off his head in effigy and people will laugh about it like it's a joke. It's really totally unacceptable, Jen.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. Have on the line Alex Newman. Learn more at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. We carry his book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. We've had this for well over a year, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office, get on our newsletter list. Okay, Alex Newman, something's coming up here. Let me read one sentence talking about it. Summit of the Future will be voted on at the 79th UN General Assembly, New York, September 22nd, 23rd. Member states are expected to declare a planetary emergency as part of the so-called Pact for the Future. One more paragraph. The Summit of the Future website says that the outcome of the Pact for the Future will be a, quote, world and an international system that is better prepared to manage the challenges we face now, concludes. UN member states are also likely to vote radically to alter the UN itself, what some are calling UN 2.0, and the very nature of how nation states make decisions regarding the future of the planet. You told me that this is going to be perhaps the greatest power grab in the history of the UN, trying to get dictatorial powers. You're going to be there. Please apprise us.
When the UN was started, the guy who pretty much led the proceedings, Alger Hiss, he had worked for the State Department for a long time. He actually led all of the delegates from San Francisco to the Bohemian Grove. And this was, at that time, probably the most significant global power grab, the most significant effort to create a one-world government that humanity had seen, at least in modern recorded history. The UN Charter makes very clear that the UN can send anybody's military forces into war if the Security Council determines that it's necessary to maintain peace and security. So that was a huge power grab. But if you look at what they're planning for at this Summit of the Future, and I encourage people, don't take my word for this. You can go right to the UN website and see the Pact for the Future, which they're hoping to adopt there. They're very transparent about what they're doing here. Article 41, they want to transform global governance. They want to reinvigorate the multilateral system to tackle the challenges of today and tomorrow. Action 45, strengthen the Peacebuilding Commission. Action 46, strengthen the UN system. Strengthen the UN's human rights pillar, which means the opposite of what Americans understand with human rights. They talk about strengthening the UN's ability to enforce its decisions, its environmental agreements. They say strengthen compliance with the UN's multilateral environmental agreements. So this is a power grab of historic proportions. I first exposed this a few years ago, Jan. I did a big article in the Epoch Times when the Secretary General of the UN, who, by the way, is a admitted socialist. Before leading the UN, he was running what's called the Socialist Internationale. It's the world's largest alliance of socialist and communist political parties. It traces its origins directly back to Karl Marx, who hated God and Christianity. And when you look at the things that he was advocating for in these policy briefs, the first one, for example, on emergencies, which they want to declare an emergency, they wanted, in their own words, to have all power and authority centralized in the UN so that in the event of a declared emergency, only the Secretary General would have the authority with no consensus or agreement from anyone else. All of the governments, all of the businesses, all of the organizations and people in the world, it said, would have to respect the decision-making authority of the UN and its multilateral agencies. We're talking here about a totalitarian global government with a blank check to do whatever it wants under the guise of dealing with an emergency or with hunger or with poverty or with climate change or with economic problems. It's hard to overstate how significant this is. And when I was doing my first article on this a couple years ago for the Epoch Times, I contacted Congressman Mike McCaul, who's the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, a very powerful committee and a very powerful lawmaker, and said, hey, what do you guys know about this? Are you guys following this? Because the Biden administration told me they support it. Long story short, they didn't know a whole lot about it. They said, well, anything that the UN does is going to have to respect our sovereignty and our taxpayer dollars. I can assure you, this does not respect our sovereignty. It certainly does not respect our taxpayer dollars. So God willing, I will be there to cover this for the New American Magazine as a foreign correspondent. They're holding up my credentials, so we hope that we won't have a problem. We've never had a problem going to UN meetings before, but people need to understand this is a roadmap to create not just any world government, a totalitarian world government in which all of the rights that we have taken for granted as Americans will evaporate.
Do you know of any American leaders who will be present, and I'm meaning specifically at the Summit of the Future? Again, that's September 22nd, 23rd. And if you do know of anybody, can you speak into them?
Well, almost every president, dictator, king, potentate in the world will be there because this is happening at the same time as the UN General Assembly, yes, which is the one time a year where all the world leaders meet in New York. We do suspect that Joe Biden will be there. Kamala Harris will probably be there. We don't know yet who from Trump's team might try to attend, but we expect that somebody will, and I hope to have more details on that soon. But the highest levels of power, not just in the United States, but all over the world, business leaders, religious leaders, they will be there, and they've got big plans for the future that, again, you should have on the front page of your newspaper, but you don't.
Do you have any thoughts on how successful they might be?
I don't think they're going to get everything that they're asking for, partly just because people around the world are looking at these things and they're starting to pay attention. You know, after COVID, a lot of people started asking questions about the World Health Organization and how is it that the entire world adopted these crazy policies just out of the blue? And people started pointing fingers at the WHO, the World Health Organization. So there's a lot of pressure on Congress right now to stop this. And of course, the House of Representatives still has the power of the purse. So I don't suspect they're going to get everything out of this meeting. But I think they're going to take a giant step toward global totalitarian government at this meeting.
So you will obviously be reporting, if not on site, once the event is over towards the end of September. You'll be writing and perhaps doing some videos at your website?
Absolutely. We'll be there even if they don't let us in. We will be there talking to people outside.
Okay.
This is one of the most important stories happening on the planet right now from a biblical perspective, from an economic perspective, from a political perspective. And unfortunately, there's radio silence from the American media. So that's why I go to these things. I don't have any particular affinity for these things.
Yes,
in fact,
yes.
I'd rather not go. I'd rather be with my family. But somebody has got to get this information out to the people of the world and especially the church so that we can understand what's happening and make sensible decisions.
So Nimrod and Babylon are trying to come back, folks. That's what it boils down to. Let's just quickly take a consideration here, Alex Newman. World Economic Forum Agenda 2030. Are they on target? Maybe have they moved things up?
The 2030 agenda was one of the most significant stories of 2015, and nobody covered this. I believe I wrote the first major article in any American media outlet about this, and yet you had every government in the world agreeing to essentially write a blank check to the United Nations to totally restructure life on this planet. I encourage people to read the 2030 agenda. It's divided up into what they call 17 sustainable development goals. And they don't even beat around the bush. Goal number 10 says we're going to redistribute wealth now, not just within countries, but among countries. So we're talking about global wealth redistribution. They talk about indoctrinating your children on all of these different issues, world citizenship, feminism, the UN's very perverted view of human rights. And they want the kids so indoctrinated, it says in goal number 4, they're not just going to submit to these ideologies and false ideas, but they will promote them. You've got goal number 3, where they want abortions and vaccines and mental health care for everyone. You've got numerous elements of this agenda that will fundamentally transform our food systems, our legal systems, our environmental systems, our family systems. And so you had all the governments of the world through the UN General Assembly. Then the World Economic Forum came in and signed a strategic partnership agreement with the UN to bring the business community to the table. And then the next year, you had Religions for Peace, whose leader describes it as the United Nations of Religions, signing up all of their members, all of the religions of the world, they said, commit to development as set forth in the 2030 agenda. So when the head of the UN General Assembly in 2015, Peter Thompson, said that this was the master plan for humanity, I imagine God probably had a good chuckle about that.
Yes.
But I can guarantee you that they are dead serious about this. They want to totally restructure your political, your economic, and even your religious life. And the 2030 agenda is the roadmap to do that.
I think we need to clarify, Alex, that according to the Bible, at least during that tribulation time, and again, this ministry does not believe that believers are going to be a part of that tribulation, but according to the Bible, nation states have to diminish because we're headed towards the kingdom of the Antichrist. Folks, you and I will never meet the Antichrist. That's a tribulation-only event, Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not the time of the church's trouble. And you believe this strongly as well, Alex, and that is that the Bible says we're going to have a global government. It's just a matter of the timing, and we certainly don't know who the new Nimrod is going to be, who new Mr. Antichrist is going to be, but all of this is happening because the infrastructure of the Antichrist is being built even as we speak.
That's exactly what we're watching right now, Jan, and I think it's really important for believers to understand this. We are now watching the infrastructure of a global Antichrist totalitarian system being erected and built in front of our eyes. What sounded preposterous 2,000 years ago, you read Revelation 13, we're watching it being constructed right before our eyes, and a huge swath of the church is totally asleep at the wheel.
Absolutely.
And not even paying attention. So I think you can't make sense of this stuff unless you read your Bible, unless you read Daniel, unless you read Revelation, unless you read what Matthew has to say about the end of the world. You must understand these things.
Alex, probably one more topic here, and it's going to be a quick overview, but the useful idiots are out again on our college campuses. They were in April, May, early June, cheering for Hamas. What kind of a society cheers for barbarians? A society that calls evil good, and a Romans 1 society that's been given over, I personally believe. But the student protests beginning again. Help us understand from your perspective, again, the useful idiot students suggesting that Israel is committing genocide and cheering for Hamas.
And this is absolutely demonic. You don't even have to dig very deep to find out what's going on here. You've got people like George Soros pouring money into organizations that are throwing their lot in with Hamas, that hate the Jews, that want to, quote unquote, free Palestine from the river to the sea, which is another way of saying exterminate God's people, drive them out of the land. We know God will take care of all that, thankfully. But this is wickedness writ large. And as you pointed out, this is calling evil good and good evil. And we're going to see a whole lot more of that in the days to come because a darkness is descending on the planet. A huge part of not just our country, but the whole world has now been handed over to a reprobate mind. They have suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness. And God responded by just handing them over to this degenerate, reprobate mind. So now is the time for believers to be in prayer, to be preparing their family for tough times ahead, and to be in the Word of God, which is where we're going to get our answers from on all of these issues and so many more.
Folks, remember the words in Psalm 2. God sits in the heavens. He's laughing at these fools. He's going to give them a 7-year kingdom, okay? We won't be here to have to watch the horror going on outlined in the book of Revelation. You can learn more again at libertysentinel.org. If you want to better understand the deep state, we have Alex's book, The Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. That's at olivetreeviews.org. Go to my online store, call my office, get on our newsletter list. Folks, let me just go out of the program a couple of words here, because the final empire will be, as we've said, a true global government ruled by a man known as the Antichrist, also called the Beast and the Lawless One, Revelation 13. He will have authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And he, along with the false prophet, will force all people to take his mark. This future global leader will control all financial transactions and all religious observances. What we see now is the buildup of the infrastructure for the Antichrist. Believers will never see this. The system, as we are removed in what the Bible says is the rapture of the believer or the church. That is our blessed hope. That's what it says in Titus 2:13. And I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We can be a light in the darkness. What Satan means for evil, God will always use for good, so don't grow weary in well-doing. You are called for such a time as this, and that means we are watching the last act of a long drama, and that all things predicted are falling into place.